May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 485. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you. Let us read together from God's holy word, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 11. The Gospel according to John, chapter 11, and we'll read to the end of verse 46. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he. And after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. May God bless that reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Most gracious, kind, ever merciful Lord God in heaven, do teach us how to pray and what to pray for, O Lord, would you pray for thy Spirit to come and order all our worship this night. Oh, that thou wilt influence us by thy Spirit, that we may be led to pray according to thy most holy will. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt help us as we seek to worship thee this night. And thou knowest the frailties, the infirmities, the sins in our hearts. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the hardness sometimes and the coldness and sometimes the indifference. Oh, but may it not be a task to worship thee this night. May not duty seem a load. Oh, that there may be true praise and worship coming forth from us. Oh, thankful hearts for every mercy and favour thou dost bestow upon us. Mercies countless as the sands, which daily we receive. O Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, we have much to mourn over when we look at our own poor professions, our own poor returns. Our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. And where would we be without free and sovereign grace? Where would we be without that blood sprinkled mercy seat and that new and living way and access into the holiest of holies? Oh, we do thank thee for a risen Saviour. Oh, we do thank thee that we look back by faith and see a risen, exalted Saviour. Oh, risen by the power of the Father, that sacrifice acceptable, the sins of the Church of God all put away, all finished, the salvation of thy people safe and secured in thee. Oh, Lord, we do pray that each one of us may be bound up in that bundle of life with the Lord our God. Oh, that each one of us may have been upon thy dear loving heart as thou didst suffer, bleed and die. And oh, that each one of us may know the power of thy resurrection. Oh, that we may know it in our hearts. Oh, do grant assurance of it, we pray, a measure of assurance to each one of us, that as thou didst rise, so thy people rose with thee, and will forever be in heaven with God. O Lord, we do pray that great mercy may be bestowed on each. Lord, do work mightily in our hearts. May thy work appear, both here and throughout our little denomination. Do turn again and smile upon us. Oh, may captives be set free. May the jubilee trumpet sound. Oh, a risen Saviour, exalted, sitting at the Father's right hand, may ever be faithfully proclaimed from this pulpit and throughout our denomination. Oh Lord, we do pray that Jesus Christ and him crucified may be our ministry. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt ever have a people who long to hear the name of Jesus. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt ever spare a people here at Swavesey who know and fear the Lord, who love to hear of the gospel, for poor, sinful worms of this earth. Oh, but that loving welcome for beggars, emptied of self, seeing no hope in help himself, yet seeing all their deepest needs met in a precious Christ. Lord, then lift us above inferior things. Help us in our hours of temptations. Oh, we do pray that thou deliver us from the power of sin and Satan. What can helpless sinners do when temptations seize us? Nought have we to look unto but the blood of Jesus. Oh, may it be applied to our hearts. Oh, we do pray we each may be brought into a personal knowledge of it. Oh, say to my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, may we hear that pardon. May we hear that jubilee trumpet. May prisoners be loosed, and those in debt set free, a full discharge. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt open the eyes of the blind, and work mightily in the hearts of thy people, and there may be that conviction of sin, broken and contrite hearts. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt set the captives free. Oh, may Satan and sin be chained back. May thy people, by thy Spirit, be enabled to walk at large, walk at liberty. Oh, give liberty to thy dear people. Oh, we do pray for the love of Christ to be found in each heart. For where that love is found, oh, that love that casteth out all fear, oh, then, Lord, thy graces will be known. Then bestow upon us, Lord, more grace. Oh, that we may be more like thee. Oh, that we may walk rightly before thee. Keep us low at thy feet, but hold us up. Oh, Lord, do keep us in that right place. Oh, we do pray that we may be kept at thy feet, with our eyes unto thee. And do pray, Lord, for each of the friends who gather here. Thou knowest that the concerns, the cares, the burdens, the troubles. Thou hearest the sighs. Thou hearest the sighing of the prisoners. That thou seest the tears in secret. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt comfort each heart, bless each heart. Make known thyself to each soul, we pray, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, help us in our lives, that we may live rightly before thee. Order all our footsteps. And do pray that thou wilt keep us each from the evil of this world. And we do pray that we may be kept near to thee. Hold us fast. Keep us near thee. Never leave us, nor forsake us. O Lord, may we be held by thy right hand, led by thy Spirit. Oh, may we each endure to the end. Oh, how can we continue in this evil world with some of us have such besetting sins? How will we endure? How will we not make shipwreck? Oh, Lord, may we go leaning on thee, our trust in thee. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. We cannot, dare not, on our own works lean. O Lord, we cannot trust our own righteousness, our own merits. We cannot, Lord, save ourselves. Oh, do then bring us to fall into thine arms. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Also, Lord, bring us as we are, just as we are. As beggars before thee we come, not seeking to make ourselves better, oh, but trusting wholly upon thee and thy merits. Lord, we do pray that thou help each of the friends, those with hard things, difficult cases. Some maybe have puzzling things, perplexing, trying things. Maybe a problem or trial in the weeks ahead. Lord, do help them. May we be led to cast all our cares upon thee. Oh, we do pray that thou strengthen us each, that we may face the mountains that thou wilt bring before us. But may we hear a greater than Caleb saying, give me this mountain. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou make all thy mountains away, and the crooked places straight, and the rough places plain, and land us each safe in heaven at last. Oh, bless the church here. Do build them up, Lord, we pray, in numbers and in grace. Gather in from the congregation into the church. Oh, Lord, may thy name be glorified. Make the place of thy feet glorious. Bless them here, Lord. Help them week by week. That the deacons here, Lord, sustain them and help them. Give wisdom, guidance, and grace. Lord, from the youngest to the eldest, oh, do help them in all the concerns of life. The children at school, the young people at work, oh, the parents bringing up children, grandparents watching on. Those, Lord, who feel that the grasshopper's becoming a burden, the things of this life, and the things they did with ease becoming more difficult, infirmities of flesh and mind. And we do pray that thou would maintain and support and help and abide with us. O Lord, do abide with us. May thy presence ever be with us. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Oh, personally and as churches, and as a people, ever be with us. Lord, we do pray that Satan may be kept out of our churches, out of our denomination, out of our hearts. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt reign in us, victorious. We do pray that thou pardon every sin. Do wash us from all transgression. May we each be presented at that great day, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in thy most holy sight. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn 126. I'll speak the honours of my King, his form divinely fair. None of the sons of mortal race may with the Lord compare. Hymn 126.
turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to John, chapter 11. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the fifth verse. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The Gospel according to John, chapter 11, and the fifth verse. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And with the untrained eye, and with the first quick glimpse of the next verse, you could be left to question that. For we read, when he had heard, therefore, that he, that was Lazarus, was sick, has he been sought of by Mary and by Martha? We read, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And yet he loved all three of them. The mysterious dealings of the Lord God. And you know, friends, it is so even in our day that the Lord, dealing with his people as he will, oh, to be made submissive, oh, to view rightly the almighty dealings of an almighty God, a God who is in no way limited by anything. It all, beloved friends, comes down to his choice, what he wills. And you know, friends, what he wills is ever best, ever best. But oh, John, by the Holy Spirit's power, puts in this fifth verse. Oh, what a clarification for what is to come after. Oh, with the unlearned, untrained eye, you would never have thought to write that over, would you? If you hadn't read to the end of this reading that we'd read to, if you just read the next verse, would you have written over that verse before? That the Lord loved him? That is Lazarus? Would you have said that his tarrying in for 2 days, silence to Mary and Martha. We read his sister sent unto him saying, Lord, and reminded him, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And he heard them. He heard their request. He entered in, it entered into his heart, and yet he tarried. And what moved him to tarry? Love? Oh, friends, may you and I be given the understanding. Oh, you and I will prove in our lives, in our dealings, to be loved with this love. It's a love that is often tried. It's a love that we long to experience in our way. And yet there's a love here, friends, that passes all understanding. That there's a love that moves him to tarry, that the Lord delays in answering this prayer, that this desire, that they asked him, they sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And the Lord said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby, and he will have the glory. And he knows, beloved friends, how to get out of his dear children the maximum praise, the most praise, turning circumstances in our lives to his honour and glory, all things working together for his purposes, this whole entire world working out his will. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Oh, everything perfectly ordered, a right order, no mistakes. But to our eyes, oh, we see things that trouble. We cannot see any good come from it. And you say, oh, why didn't he go right to them? Well, Mary and Martha, she, we'd say, hit the nail on the head, didn't she? She, what did she say to the Lord Jesus when he came to them? When he came to them, what did she say? Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And that's it, beloved friends. We see his delay, the reason for it. Why was it? Oh, we see that the loving heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, beloved friends, if he had gone, Mary and Martha both said it, our brother, my brother, had not died. His heart would have been touched. He could have not have stood by and watched on, but he delayed his, he tarried his leisure. He delayed his coming. Lazarus must die. Oh, and he tarried, and he went. He went when he knew that Lazarus had passed away. Oh, this loving heart. It broke at the tomb. It broke at the grave of Lazarus. We read those words, Jesus wept. It might sound strange to our ears at first, but don't you see the loving heart of the Lord Jesus? He was touched with the sympathy. He was touched by the bereavement of those around. It broke his heart. He wept. He had no doubt in his mind that Lazarus would live again. He had no doubt that he would raise him from that grave. But oh, we see his loving heart. He was moved with compassion. Oh, and this same dear man, beloved friends, this same dear man is sitting at the right hand of his Father in heaven this evening. And he still can be touched. Have you ever felt that? As you maybe have poured out your heart to the Lord, maybe there's great disappointment. Maybe you've been praying for something for a long time. Oh, and others are granted it and you're not. Providential things maybe, spiritual things, but oh, you know, you've been seeking it a long time and the Lord has tarried. You haven't had an answer. Has he heard me? And yet, oh, there's been such a comforting, such a strengthening. Though he's not granted you the request of your heart yet, at present, yet there's been a bearing up in it. There's been a comforting influence of the Holy Spirit in your heart. The Lord has not left you comfortless. He has come to you. And that thing that you thought would break you, would bring you to utter despair, yet the Lord has sustained you in it. You've not fallen utterly under it, that there's been a mingling of your tears and the Saviour's. Oh, this sympathising heart. Oh, and he's that same dear man in heaven, sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, but there's a solemn and a gracious and a blessed difference in his appearance now, beloved friends, than there was at this day. Oh, you see, friends, he sits at the Father's right hand, and he has those marks in his hands, his feet and his side. Oh, and there's love written in them. Oh, he has that. Oh, they're continually before him. They're engraving in the palms of his hands. He can never forget them. Oh, we often, sadly, solemnly, it's our, oh, what is it? Unbelief. But we're often left to question, feeling forsaken, forgotten. Sometimes some of us have even, dare we say it, accused him of forsaking us when we should know better. Oh, and we've often sadly felt, oh, that we've been forsaken, and we've questioned his love. But he says, ah, behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Oh, what lengths he went to. How can we, dare we, should we not, oh, beloved friends, accuse him of forgetting us? How could he? But we do experience sometimes this delay in answering. But oh, to be given patience. To be given patience. That we may understand that he has heard. He has heard. He hears everything we say. And our every thought is known to him. Oh, so may we not accuse him of not hearing. He's heard. But sometimes there's a delaying in answering. And beloved friends, oh, how often we are unable to look back and see that it was for his honour and glory. How he knows how to deal with his people. How he knows how to get from them sinful worms who have no praise in them by nature. How he knows how to extract from them that maximum glory and honour and praise from their lips. You see, he delays in answering. He delays in coming. He withholds withholds his presence from them. And he suffers Lazarus to die from this sickness. But he loved him. He loved him. So the things that are troubling in your life, those great things that are weighing upon you, that thing in particular that you've prayed for and you're yet to have answered, oh, may you be given the grace to wait. May you submit and wait patiently for him. Those will never suffer shame who wait for him. They will never suffer shame that wait patiently for him. You've sought the Lord maybe many, many days, many years even. And there's no answer. There's no answer to your request, your petition. And may you be given grace to wait. May this word encourage you. You see, Lazarus, he died, but the Lord loved him. Is Satan telling you he's not answering because he doesn't love you? You know, it's one of his best things he uses. The delays in answering prayer, the Lord's tarrying. How quick Satan is to jump in there. You can't be right then, can you? You can't be one of the Lord's people. Well, friends, there's three people in our verse this evening. No doubt there was prayer from Lazarus. The Lord said, our friend Lazarus is sick. No, but there was no immediate help. There was no lifting from that bed of affliction. In fact, he died. He died. But the Lord loved him. And what of Mary and Martha? Oh, they both sent requests unto him, asking him to come. And he didn't come at their request. He waited. And he arrived. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Oh, the Lord is never late. His timings are perfection. Oh, may we be encouraged in these things. Oh, to submit to his wisdom in all things. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. And he loved them all, friends. And though Satan may have tried to get in there, there's a love of an almighty God. And he loved them all. And so we think of Lazarus. We think of Lazarus. Oh, and the feelings of Lazarus as this sickness took hold of him. You know, his disciples, they knew that the Lord was sought by the Jews. They sought to stone him. They had gone from Jerusalem and into the parts of Jordan where John was had baptized. And so they reminded the Lord this. They said, his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? They may have thought that he tarried for fear of returning, fear of the Jews, fear that he may have been stoned. But it wasn't fear, it was love. It wasn't fear, it was for the honour and glory of his Almighty God. This was the final great miracle before the wonders of redeeming love. This was the seventh great sign that John records in his Gospel of the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the eternal Son of God. And is not this the greatest, beloved friends, the greatest of miracles? Here he defeats the greatest of foes, death. The death of Lazarus is defeated. Oh, this wonder of wonders. It wasn't fear that held him back. And we read Thomas. Oh, Thomas, he says unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Let's not die with Lazarus. He was setting forth his loyalty to his Lord and Master. Let us also go with him back to the Jerusalem, back to Bethany, back to confront those who would stone him, and let us die with him also. But where were they? Where were those disciples who willingly went back? Where were they that night in which he was betrayed? Oh, the zeal in the hearts of the disciples here. Oh, Thomas says, let us also go that we may die with him. And so they go back, and they come, and Martha hears that the Lord is coming, and she goes to meet him. You see, there's three characters here, three different dispositions. We have Mary, we have Martha, we have Lazarus. And we have the dealings of the Lord Jesus with Lazarus. And we have different dealings with Martha. We have Martha who in an earlier chapter is in the Gospel of Luke is rebuked by the Lord. We first hear of Mary and Martha, when we hear of Martha received him into her house, and her sister Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. There's a difference here, isn't there? These two sisters. What a difference. Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." The dealings of the Lord with Martha. You see, he rebuked her here, and rightly so. Rightly so. But you know, it was in love that he rebuked her. It's in love that he corrected her. And you know, those words entered in. Those words entered in. For if you turn to chapter 12, we read again that the Lord is in the house of Simon the leper, and Lazarus was at the table. This is the risen Lazarus, the raised from the dead Lazarus, and Martha was serving again, and Mary is anointing the Lord Jesus with that precious ointment. Oh, but there's a difference in Martha, isn't there? Where's the rebuke? Where's the rebuke from the Lord? Where's her spirit as her sister's pouring forth this ointment and anointing the Saviour? Martha's serving. Oh, what a contrast between the two sisters. But you see, friends, we're different people, aren't we? Two sisters. But they're two different characters. And the Lord has people of all characters amongst his flock. All different sorts and shapes and dispositions. Now here we have two sisters. May one not be jealous of the other. May not one speak against another. And with the love of Christ flowing in your heart, this will be so, won't it? You won't rebuke. You won't be jealous. You won't speak out against the other. But Martha had been, and the Lord corrected her. And Mary had chosen that better part. And if we had no other writings of Martha, oh, what would our thoughts be concerning her? But the Lord has left this on record. And she's mentioned here first, isn't she? Now Jesus loved Martha. What a wonderful thing that is. Despite his rebuke, despite the need for correction, he loved her. And you know, there's a wonderful testimony that poured forth from her lips. And we have it on record here. Oh, Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever believeth and liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Puts her to a point. And what does she say? "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Oh, friends, that's Martha's testimony. And it's left on record as her testimony. And I firmly believe Martha is in heaven. And there are many Marthas in heaven. And, beloved friends, may the Marys not despise the Marthas, and the Marthas not despise the Marys. Some of the Lord's people, oh, they they're not of that disposition where they could show such public outpourings of their love to the Lord Jesus if bodily present with us. But some are. Oh, may not the two be in conflict with the other. Oh, but may we know, may we understand that the heart of Martha, who seeks to serve, she's doing it in love to the Lord. Oh, her house was open to the Lord Jesus. He was an invited guest. She loved his company, loved his acquaintance. And when she's in Simon the leper's house, she's serving. And there are those of that disposition. Oh, but you see, it's a cup of cold water to the people of God. It's love that moves them to it. And it's love in their hearts. And then there's the Marys. Oh, and a different disposition there. Oh, and may they not be despised. Those who are not so free and able to serve and do practical things. But oh, that their love is shown in a different way altogether. Oh, this, the contrasts in these two blessed characters. Oh, the Lord, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And this love, it passed all understanding. It's a love that knows no end. It's a love that endures forever and ever. It's a love that wipes away every tear. It's a love that takes a poor sinner who has faults and failings, and yet, oh, it's a love that blots out every transgression. It's a love that wipes that slate clean. It's a love that blots out every stain. The Lord loved Martha, and he loved her sister, and he loved Lazarus. And though they were seemingly dealt with in such a peculiar, unusual way, yet when we see the end of the thing, oh, what do we see from it, friends? We see a great and wonderful miracle. The resurrection of Lazarus, the calling out, the setting free from the grave, breaking the bonds of death, and oh, the honour and glory that comes to an almighty God. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Through these dealings that he had with these three characters, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Oh, that you and I may be dealt with by a loving, loving God. Oh, to be found in amongst the dear Lord's people, who, though there are those things that are hard, those things that are troublesome, those things that sometimes perplex, yet all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, the rebukes sometimes are needful, the delaying, the tarrying, the waiting for answers. The troublesome circumstances, oh, these dealings of a loving Heavenly Father. Think of the Syrophoenician woman. Think of the seemingly rebuff she received at the hands of the Lord Jesus. Oh, when he spoke to her, she had to pour forth from her heart, didn't she? Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Oh, and the Lord said, can he cast before the dogs the children's bread? And, you know, these seemingly rebuffs, when the Lord's dear children come to him, it's hard sometimes. It hurts sometimes. It perplexes sometimes. But, oh, the praise that comes forth. The desires are squeezed out, aren't they? Or the language of that Syrophoenician woman. And think of that rich young ruler. He too, we read in Mark's Gospel, that the Lord loved him. And yet he was sent away, wasn't he? Well, with a great matter in his life, not right. He had his hopes. He'd built so much of his hope on himself and his love of riches and the love of the wealth that he had. And yet the Lord loved him. That the Lord, though he sent him away, this isn't right in your life, yet the Lord loved him. Have you ever been sent from the house of God? And the Lord has said, this idol must be parted with. One thing thou lackest. One thing. You thought you had everything. You thought you were the right sort. And he said, one thing thou lackest. You've had to part with an idol. You've had to give something up. And it hurts, doesn't it? Oh, you've gone away disappointed from the house of God. Are you unloved? Is it a sign that you're not loved? Is it a sign that you're forever banished from the Father's house? Oh, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Oh, whom the Lord loveth, he scourgeth. Oh, he purges his people. There's the fire. There's the dross to be burnt off. There's the rubbish to be consumed. There's praise to come forth. And we're so slack in it. We're so reluctant. Our mouths are so tied that these things must be sometimes squeezed out of us. And the Lord knows how to do it. Oh, and though we may be turned away at first approach, yet there's an unseen hand. There's an unseen hand that draws his people through. Oh, there's that unseen hand that held fast to that Syrophoenician woman. She was rebuffed by the Lord's disciples, and then he seemed to follow up with another rebuffal. Yet there was a hand that held her fast. Oh, and she couldn't give up. She couldn't let him go. She couldn't be satisfied with no. It was give me Christ or else I die. Give me the answer to my petition. Oh, let me know. Let me feel it. Say to my soul, I am thy salvation, a sinner broken under the law. It cannot take no, can you? For an answer? Cannot take a seeming no. Oh, it's Lord, let there be room for me. Lord, make there room for me. Oh, make, is there room in thy Father's house for me? Oh, to hear, come in now, blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? Oh, that the delays in prayer being answered, oh, may bring forth, may fall out, as Paul says, rather for the furtherance of the gospel, or in this case, may it fall out rather to the furtherance of the praise of an almighty God. Oh, the love here shown. And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Oh, this love, beloved friends, which passeth all understanding. There's a love here. There's love that flowed to Job. It's the same love that this love that flowed to Job, it didn't stop him being tempted by Satan. It didn't stop him from being having all those things removed from his life. It didn't stop him being brought into the dust. Think of Job. Think of Job. And, oh, he cried out, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, there was an unseen hand holding up Job, supporting Job under that great, great trial. Think of poor Job, with all that trouble in his family, those disastrous things that happened, stripped of everything. And then, oh, the Lord permitted, allowed Satan to touch his body, boils from head to foot. If ever a man could be broken, there is a man who's been brought to the ends of the earth. Oh, but he's not brought to the end of the love of an almighty God. And he's not left to the power of Satan. Though Satan touches, though Satan's permitted to come in, yet the Lord had him held fast and firm. And his desire was, in all his afflictions, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even unto his seat, that he may go in to the presence of God, that he may know that union and communion in his afflictions with God. Will he plead against me with his great power? You say, Job, surely all these things are showing you. He's working against you. Will he plead against me with his great power? Oh, under the Holy Spirit's influence in his heart, as an almighty God holding him up, he says no. But he would put strength in me. Oh, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, you must have this thorn in the flesh, dear child of God. It's right. It's necessary. Don't kick against it. Oh, don't kick against it. Oh, you've asked for the Lord to remove it. Wasn't silence. It was no. He asked three times. And what did the Lord say? But he said unto me, this is the answer the Lord gave Paul. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, that it may be so with you and I. It may be so. That you may look back over your little life and prove it, like Paul did. My grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I can, in a moment, lift these things. But it's needful. You're better with them, Paul. And you're better with it, dear child of God, this evening. And this trial, this affliction, this trouble, it's needful. There's teaching in it. There's love in it. There's teaching in it. Oh, Lord, give me understanding. Give me strength to endure. Oh, to know the Lord more. Is that your desire? Is that mine? In all these dealings that we have in our lives, in all the things, the scenes, the varying, changing scenes of life, is our desire that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and have fellowship with his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death? Oh, you want to know the power of his resurrection in your life, working in your heart, that power that spoke, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, you long to know that power in your heart. And the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And be made conformable unto his death. Oh, to die to this life. To be brought willing to forsake all and follow him, to be made obedient, submissive. You see, dear friends, we're so not like Christ by nature, aren't we? We're so unlike him. And yet if we have a sweet hope, we're one of his dear children, surely, surely, there must be something seen in us of him. Oh, that there may be more of his light shining in us, more of his grace, more of his humility. Oh, that pride may be taken away. Now, often the Lord tarries in answering. It's to stain our pride and to bring us in a right spirit before him, and that we may make our requests known rightly before him. We are on earth, he is in heaven. Oh, to be kept in that right place with a right view of God. And, oh, to wait patiently, not like a petulant child, but given more grace to wait, and faith to believe, and faith to lay hold on the precious promises of God, and faith to believe. Faith to believe who he is, what he is, his power, and that he can do all things. All things are at his hand. You say, I need this in my life. I've no way, no idea how I could have it. I haven't got it, and I feel I need it. Well, if you need it, dear child of God, you'll have it. But you say, well, I almost daren't pray for it because I cannot see how the Lord could answer. Oh, friends, he has all things at his disposal. He's not limited by anything in this world. Oh, then may we wait patiently. May we lay all those great petitions we have. Some have great providential things. Some have great burdens and needs. How many in the Word of God, the Lord's people, had family troubles? Think of those who were without child. There were many, many accounts in the Word of God. Think of Hannah and others who sought the Lord that they would grant them children. And there was a patient waiting. And the Lord heard and answered. And he can do all things. All things. But oh, may you and I be encouraged to pray on. May we not be discouraged. May Satan be kept out, bringing doubts of his love toward us. You see, there's a drawing out of his people. Real, true prayer. You know, I've proved it. I've looked back at, you know, when a trial has begun and a circumstance has happened. And at first there's an emphasis, there's a need in prayer. But as the Lord's delayed his appearing, as he's tarried his leisure, oh, how the prayers deepened, how the desires have deepened, how the work has deepened. How the Lord has taught me more. Oh, how he's made known himself more unto us. And we walk by faith and not by sight. May he give us both the grace and the faith to wait his appearing, knowing that he has heard. Oh, and now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and this is the point, beloved friends, as the Lord loved us. You see, they're all different characters, these. Job, Daniel, David, the people of God are different. This is the vital point. Oh, this is the only, the one thing needful, isn't it, to know the love of God in our hearts. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £815, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. There will be a meeting of the cemetery trustees tomorrow evening at 7:30, and our friends at Oakington hope to hold a Trinitarian Bible Society meeting on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1106. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We'll sing it with the refrain, hymn 1106.
Dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship this day. Do take us each home in peace and safety. Be with us each in the greater journey of our lives. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.